Years ago, Johnson & Johnson came out with a baby shampoo that was promised no more tears. Many times, not intentionally, of course, parents would be shampooing a baby's head, and the shampoo would get in their eyes and burn, and the baby would cry, and it was terrible. So this company had the idea to develop a shampoo just for babies that even if the baby got shampoo in their eye, it would not burn them, so they wouldn't have to have any tears during bath time. Now, some babies love to get a bath, and they love to be clean and smelling nice and kicking that water with their feet. But other babies scream bloody murder when it's bath time. I know the first time I met my nephew, he was the first grandbaby in our family, and he was about a month old. And you could just start taking his clothes off, and you would think somebody was killing him. He would scream. He did not want a bath. He did not want that water. I don't know what it was about it, but I know he hated it. But just imagine the promise of no more tears. I wish they could invent something today to take away all of our tears and pain. Wouldn't it be grand if we didn't have any pain or suffering or sadness at all to deal with? However, this side of heaven is not going to happen. We weep when a loved one dies. We mourn at the violence that we see happening across our country. We grieve over the suffering of children and grandchildren. We know sorrow very well in this world. But in our New Testament reading this morning, we catch a glimpse, a vision of a place and time where God will wipe away every tear. What a moving picture. It reminds me of the scenario which is played out on earth everywhere when a child falls down, gets a bobo, scratches a knee, they run to mama or daddy or grandma, please kiss it and make it better, they cry. And mama wipes away their tears and gives them hugs and kisses and loves them through their pain. Of course, for most kids, Band-Aids are also a necessity in the story. They love to have Band-Aids to display their bobos to the world. They count, how many Band-Aids do you have? How many bobos do you have? But a loving parent, a family, is there to offer them comfort and to tend to them in their suffering. God is like that and so much more. In this vision of John, we see a place and a time where God is surrounded by the saints from every nation. There's such a great multitude that no one can count them. They come from all tribes, nations, and peoples of the earth. And what are they doing in heaven? They have palm branches in their hands. They're singing praises to the living God and to Jesus together. And some of them have even fallen on their faces before God in an attitude of reverence and worship. They worship God day and night. What an awe-inspiring scenario. This vision reminds me of the contemporary song by Mercy Me called I Can Only Imagine. I took it with me. We did not have that in our music library. And so I sent Jeff out to go looking for it. He found it for me, and I took it to the women's prison two weeks ago. Everybody was so moved by that song. The composers of the song paint the scenario of a person arriving in heaven and wondering how they're going to respond when they meet Jesus face to face. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you, be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? or will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Can you imagine that day, when that day comes? None of us know for sure how we're going to respond when the day of rejoicing, when we meet Jesus, comes for us. But we do believe that Jesus will be there to welcome us home. According to this vision in Revelation, multitudes of saints will be praising Jesus together, and the Lamb of God, Christ, will be the shepherd of all the sheep. There won't be a section for Methodists and a section for Baptists and a section for Catholics. We'll all be united in the love and peace of God. This cloud of witnesses will be gathered around God's throne in reverence. What an image. Today also, the saints of God are in heaven, in the church triumphant, and assembled together in this sanctuary. The word saint is used in the New Testament to refer to ordinary Christians like you and me, followers of God, as the children said. The word means holy or set apart to be used by God. You see, we don't make ourselves saints. Jesus makes us saints by inviting us to receive Him and His free gift of love and salvation. We cannot earn our way into heaven by good works or anything else. We are to put our complete trust in Jesus, abide in Him, and He promises to welcome us home when the day comes. So part of this morning, we remember, we give thanks, we celebrate our beloved saints who are already with Jesus, with joy and also with longing in our hearts because we miss them. But they are in a better place than we can even imagine. A place where, quote, Jesus will guide them to springs of the water of life, where they will hunger no more, thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb of God will be their shepherd. The Lamb of God refers to Jesus. One commentator explains, quote, that the saints of God are those who are standing before the throne and before the Lamb in this life and in the life to come. A group of ordinary people, past, present, and future, who have an extraordinarily close relationship with God. They are not perfectly sinless people, nor are they especially powerful people, but they are profoundly connected people. Men and women who are linked directly to God and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. They loved their Lord so dear, wrote Lesbia Scott in a popular children's hymn, and God's love made them strong. This is a hymn that is in our hymnal, written in 1929, I Sing a Song of the Saints of God. And the author makes it clear that the saints are those who have a close relationship with our ever-loving God. Scott includes doctors and queens and shepherdesses and soldiers, and priests in her charming list of the saints of this world, as well as those who were slain by a fierce wild beast, those who were martyred because of their faith in Christ. And she insists in her song that there's not any reason, no, not the least, why I shouldn't be a saint too, why you shouldn't be a saint also. God calls us and invites us to be saints. God wants to work with us to transform and touch people's lives so that people can know of the love of Jesus. I know of a couple who are Christians who've been married over 50 years. And what's so extraordinary about their family is that through all those years, they have opened their home to foster children. And they have loved those children as their own. I couldn't even count how many children that they have fostered. And I think they've adopted at least 5 of them. And they continue to take in foster children, even though they're in their 70s now. And not only that, they usually have about 10 kids at a time in their house. And every summer they take a trip from Texas to New York to take those children to a Christian camp for several weeks. Can you imagine loading up 10 kids and taking them to camp for several weeks? The children absolutely love it. What a wonderful example of a saint of Christ. I'm sure that if many of us had time to share this morning, we could tell stories of people that we consider saints who have touched our lives or been role models for us or gave us a helping hand or introduced us to Jesus Christ and the church through the years. The saints of God are those who are followers of Jesus, faithful and sincere. They seek to implement the Beatitudes daily, working for peace, hungering and thirsting for righteousness in the way that they live, showing mercy to others when least expected, blessing those who persecute them, praying for their enemies. They are meek, Jesus says, and pure in heart. They seek God every day and ask, Lord, how can I do your will today? Use me, Lord, as your instrument. Some of us may say these saints are incognito. We don't know them. But God knows everyone by name. If you look in a mirror, you will discover their identity. No More Tears is not only the name of a shampoo, it's a vision of heaven where God will lovingly wipe away the tears of the saints forever. If we can only imagine ourselves joining that mighty chorus which the morning stars began, where we can forever sing praises and bring glory and honor to God and to Jesus. Thank God that we are counted as one of the saints. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Amen.